This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. We will be, inshallah, reading from Bulugh al-Maram, the chapter in regard to al-i'tikaf and the standing for the night prayer in Ramadan, Qiyam Ramadan. Bismillah, ma'am.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى باب الاعتكاف وقيام رمضان عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه متفق عليه. الاعتكاف and offering of prayers during the night of Ramadan. Narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he who prays during the night of Ramadan with faith and seeking his reward from Allah will have his past sins forgiven, agreed upon.
This hadith in al-Bukhari wa Muslim min hadith Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu wa ardah, al-Imam al-Bukhari reported in Kitab al-Iman, in the chapter of al-Iman, and Al-Imam al-Bukhari, when he put this as part of his chapter, Al-Iman, to make a point that Al-Iman mukawwan min qawl wa amal wa i'tiqad, that Al-Iman includes actions. Because some people think Al-Iman is just a belief in the heart. But Al-Iman is a combination of three things: the belief that you have in the heart, and the statement that you make by the tongue, and the action that you do with your limbs. And part of this action is Salat al-Taraweeh, or As-Salah in general. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ يعني مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ صَلَاتَكُمْ. Allah will not waste your iman. And this iman here in this particular verse, referring to the Salah that was offered towards Bayt al-Maqdis. Because the hypocrite said, all the Salah that you did towards Bayt al-Maqdis is gone, wasted. It was the wrong direction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, it will not be wasted. And here, the only way you will use the word iman and salah basically to substitute each other's, if a salah is part of iman. It's like when I say that جاء الرجل أو جاء وجهه, his face, he show his face in the meeting. Okay? Is that means he only his face came and the rest of his body didn't? But we can say he show his face means he himself came, that's right? The only way you will use face to refer to the body, because face is part of the body. So the same thing when we say as-salah is al-iman, because as-salah part of al-iman. So you mentioned as-salah, and you meant the whole entire iman. يسمونها دلالة الجزء على الكل. دلالة الجزء على الكل. Here in this hadith, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, in regard to Ramadan, who prays during the night in Ramadan with faith and seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah forgive his or her sins. This night prayer in Ramadan, known to us as Salat al-Taraweeh, Salat al-Taraweeh. And Salat al-Taraweeh is a name that only giving to the night prayer that we do during Ramadan. Why? Because it comes from the word Tarweeha. What's Tarweeha? Tarweeha, actually it is every four rak'ah, they call this Tarweeha. Every four rak'ah, Tarweeha. And by mean Tarweeha comes from the Raha, which is mean rest. Because after every four rak'ah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the companion, used to have to rest a little bit. But also, it is known as at-tahajjud, salat at-tahajjud, okay? And at-tahajjud, it comes from the word al-hujud, wa huwa tulu sahar, when you stay late in the night, because people stay late in the night praying. Also known as Salatul Layl, the night prayers. Also you can call it Salatul Witr, because the total numbers of rak'ahs is odd number, so it's witr. Also, some people say Salatu at-tatawwa, the volunteer prayer. So all these words came in the statements of the scholars and the early Muslim scholars mentioned these names to refer to the night prayer in Ramadan. But the most distinguished name is a Taraweeh, because you don't say Taraweeh about the night prayer that you do outside Ramadan. You call it Tahajjud, you call it Qiyam al-Layl, you call it Witr, you call it all these names, but Taraweeh became very specific to the Salah that we pray during Ramadan. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here referring that there is a special ajr for the night prayers of Ramadan, different than the reward that you get of night prayer outside Ramadan. And that ajr is all your sins will be forgiven, as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, with faith, because you do this while you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His reward, seeking the reward, okay? So, and that shows you that the person, imanan wa ihtisaba. Al-ihtisab, it means that you seeking the reward from Allah for the effort that you put. Kind of you want to be paid back for the effort that you put. There is nothing wrong with that. That the believer feels that he do this so he can be rewarded, so he can be paid back, so he can be giving back. That's nothing wrong with that. But no doubt that also, this is too loud. And there is echo in it. Can I use that? Yes, much better. So the person, please, if you find something wrong with the sound, speak up. No, that's fine. So here we say that the person, nothing wrong with him to or her, to seek the reward for his actions. No doubt, Salat al-Taraweeh, it is sunnah by the consensus of the Muslim scholars. There is an agreement among the Muslim scholars that Salat al-Taraweeh is highly recommended actions, and it should be offered in congregation in the masjid, as Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, and also the Shafi'is and some Hanafis, and great companions like Jabir ibn Abdullah, Ubay ibn Ka'b, and many companions who cared and basically established the concept of Salat al-Taraweeh in the masjid. And there is evidence to show that Salat al-Taraweeh in congregation in the masjid is sunnah, such as قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مَنْ قَامَ مَعَ الْإِمَامِ حَتَّى يَنْصَرِفْ كُتِبَ لَهُ قِيَامُ لَيْلَةٍ. If you pray with the imam until the imam finished, you will take the reward of praying the whole entire night. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood and Tirmidhi, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this in regard to night prayer in Ramadan, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum found that the Prophet prayed one night very long, and some of them kind of thought about leaving early. So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you stay with the imam until the imam finish, as if you prayed the whole entire night. Okay? And also, Aisha radiallahu anha said that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salla fil masjid. He prayed one night in the masjid in Ramadan. Fasalla al-nasu bi salatih. People came and joined him. Then he came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, min al-qabila. He came the next day. فكثر الناس فجاء من الثالثة فاجتمعوا أكثر. The second day, bigger crowd. Third day, bigger crowd. So إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم did not come out. قالت في الثالثة أو الرابعة. Either in the third night or the fourth night. He didn't show up, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم came to them إذا أصبح. He came to them at Fajr prayer. And he said, لقد رأيت الذي صنعتم فلم يمنعني من الخروج إليكم إلا أنني خشيت أن تفرض عليكم. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, I didn't come out only because I saw you coming and start gathering, and I was worried that قيام الليل, the night prayer, will be obligatory upon you. We know that قيام الليل was must upon the Muslims in the beginning of Islam. then this rule was abrogated and it became only sunnah to pray in the night. So the Prophet ﷺ was worried that the previous rulings will come back and it will be must. And he said, if it became must, it will be hard for the Muslims to, can you imagine Salat al-Tarawih, it is wajib. Compare the number of people who pray Salat al-Tarawih with us to the people who leave after Isha, to the people who leave after four rak'ahs, to the people who leave in the middle. Many people don't fulfill that Salah. Can you imagine if it is a sin to leave? It's very hard for people. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shows you how merciful he is, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he cares that things to be easy for the Muslim Ummah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to deal with the Ummah according to the weakest, not according to the highest among them. Sometimes when we do things, we try to plan it for the most strongest Iman person in the community. And we want to do something to the highest level. Like somebody was telling me yesterday, why do you have a competition and have fun and people do this? You should, Sheikh, standing here all this time, the 1.5 hour or 1 hour that you spent last night with them, you should be crying in the mihrab with them and, you know, shedding tears and like making dua. And that's what you should be doing with them. Yeah, that's true, but not all people have the same level of iman. Not everybody has the same level of taqwa. Not everybody has the same level of commitment. Look how many we have in this gathering comparing to other gatherings. So people are different. That's why you should deal with people according to what they can offer. And you take them step by step higher. And that's from the wisdom and the hikmah of the religious leaders of the community. Anyway, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam also been reported in another narration, one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, قال خرج إلينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ليلة الثالث والعشرين. In the night of the 23rd, he went and he led the prayer. And he came out في ليلة الخامس والعشرين, in the night of the 25th, and he led the prayer. And في ليلة السابع والعشرين, the night of the 27th, also he came out and he led the prayer. But in between, he didn't come out. Then after that, he stopped, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, I don't want it to be obligatory upon you. So many companions have reported this. Many companions have witnessed the salah with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. So that shows you that this is a sunnah. Since the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talked about, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, it shows that it is sunnah. And we know, we have no doubt that the sunnah can be established with way less than that. So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did that 3-4 days. That's no doubt it is sunnah. Also Umar radiallahu anhu arda, when he came and he found the people in Masjid Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, يصلي الرجل لنفسه, a person by himself. وَيُصَلِّ الرَّجُلُ لِلْرَهْتِ وَيُصَلِّي بِصَلَاتِهِ الرَّهْتِ, a group of people praying together. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, why don't we gather all of them together behind one imam so they don't pray in the different groups? One imam lead them all. So he appointed radiallahu anhu Tamim al-Dari and Ubay ibn Ka'b to lead the prayers, the night prayer. فَصَلَّوا مَعَهُمَا, they led the Muslims in the Masjid Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they prayed 11 rak'ahs. And the people prayed them behind them. And they used to read an average 100 verse in the rak'ah. And they will be finishing yani by the end of the night. Then or like late in the night. Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, I'm happy that I gather them on this. لكن الذي ينامون عنها خير من التي يقومون لها. Yes, I'm happy that they're praying this. But I still believe the salah that they miss when they go back and they sleep is better than the salah that they witness and they pray together. They witness in the masjid and pray together. What he means by that? He means that the salah in the last third of the night is more rewarding than the salah of the first third of the night. Because the sahaba used to pray the first third of the night or the first half of the night. But they go sleep. So he wished that basically he still want to make a statement that the salah in the last half of the night, in the last third of the night, is much better than the praying in the beginning. That led
some of the ulama rahimahumullah to say salatul tarawih and witr in home is better. To pray at home late in the night by yourself, it's better than praying it in the early time because of that statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And also jama'ah min al-salaf, like in Hassan al-Basri and Mujahid and Ibrahim al-Nakhai and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz used to pray tarawih by themselves. As a matter of fact, Umar radiallahu anhu, and the one who ordered him to pray behind Ubay and Tamim, he prayed by himself. But that's, he wasn't praying with them. He came and see them praying behind Ubay ibn Ka'b. And when he said, ni'mal bid'a tilk, what a good thing that we start. That's also one opinion from Malik rahimahullah ta'ala and al-Shafi'i. And they said, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, praying in house, in your home, volunteer prayers in home is better than the masjid. But I do believe that the first opinion is, the strong opinion is the fact that praying in masjid, in congregation, it is something the Prophet ﷺ did, and it is from Hadi Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know the only reason that the Nabi ﷺ didn't continue doing this is because he was worried that it will be obligatory. And after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, nothing can make salah obligatory anymore. So that's why praying it in the masjid is the right thing. The only exception I can see is in individual cases. A hafidh al-Qur'an, someone, mashallah, his hifz is great, he can manage to make a lot of qiyam al-layl, a lot of dua, a lot of ibadah in his home. You know what? That's fine. You can go pray at home. But to say to the community, kida, oh, praying home is much better, I guarantee you that you will not find 10% of what people do in congregation, they will do at home. Especially in these modern days where it became Salat al-Tarawih an opportunity for a lot of other ibadat, like reminders at classes, an opportunity for donation and sadaqah and supporting your Muslim brothers' organizations and masajid, to say and to promote today that, you know what, pray at home, I think that's lack the wisdom and lack the understanding of the objectives of the Sharia. So we say, no doubt, al-ijtima' gathering for Salat al-Tarawih in the masajid is sunnah. Another issue people raised, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here, he said, whoever prays in the night, and he never specify how many rak'ah to pray in the night. And al-Mu'allif, rahimahullah, didn't mention anything in regard how many rak'ahs. Why? Because the strong opinion among the fuqaha that there is really no limit to how many rak'ah tarawih prayer is. We don't have a limit, minimum it has to be 3 rak'ahs, obviously. But, or even if you pray with 1 rak'ah witr, according to majority of the fuqaha, will be acceptable. But there is also no maximum. If you want to pray 100 rak'ah, it's fine. Ibrahim al-Nakhai kan yusalli al-witr 40 rak'ah. Ibrahim al-Nakhai used to pray 40 rak'ah. Ahlul Medina, the people of Medina, during the Tabi'een and the successor and the following successor, how many rak'ah used to pray? How many rak'ah? 36. That's why the Maliki says, Tarawih prayer should be 36 rak'ah. Because this is amalu ahl al-Madinah, because this is how ahl al-Madinah used to do. Tab, how many rak'ah the people of Mecca used to pray? 21 rak'ah. And it was a common thing that they do 21 rak'ah. And after every 4 rak'ahs, the people, Shafi'i said that. He said, the people of Mecca, after the 4 rak'ahs, they have a break. You know what their break was? They go make tawaf 7 times around al-Kaaba. Then they come back and they pray another 4 rak'ah. Then they go make tawaf 7 times. Then they come back. And so the people of Medina felt jealous. Why are they doing more ibadah than us? So they replace each 7 tawaf, kul usbu', 7 times around the Kaaba, we call it usbu' in Arabic language, or in the hadith, someone who usbu', which sounds like week, but usbu' means 7 times, 7 rounds around the Kaaba, or you go around the Kaaba 7 times, tawaf. So they added for each one of these tawaf, basically another raka'at, so it adds up to 36 raka'ats. Just to match what the people of Mecca used to do. They compete. But you also have Umar radiallahu anhu in Medina in the beginning, fi Muwatta Malik, they used to pray 11 rak'ahs only. So they used to pray 11 rak'ahs only. By the way, for the sisters, if they want to come in, I didn't see anyone, so I don't know if you guys here, you all were come to attend. So they used to pray 11 rak'ahs, but later on, it was very long, so they decided to shorten the amount of salah and increase the number of rak'ahs. So instead of staying for 1 hour for one rak'ah, they make it 4 rak'ahs or 3 or 2 rak'ahs. So that's what they did. That's why it moved from 11 to 21 later on and went up. The point here that this action shows you that the numbers are never meant for itself. It doesn't matter how many rak'ah you pray. And the proof for that, the man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, ask him about the night prayer. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الليل مثنى مثنى. Night prayer is 2 rak'ahs, 2 rak'ahs, 2 rak'ahs, 2 rak'ahs, as much as you. He didn't put a limit. And the hadith of Bukhari Muslim. Some ulama said, like Shaykh al-Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said, Taraweeh should be only 13 rak'ah or 11. Why? Because Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, ما زاد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في رمضان ولا في غير رمضان عن 11 ركعة أو 13 ركعة في رواية. That the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم did not pray more than 11 and another narration 13 in Ramadan or outside Ramadan. طيب, this statement of عائشة رضي الله عنها when she was asked about the night prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, she's just saying what she aware of. But Aisha radiallahu anha, she was not with the Prophet every night. She used to have one night every 9 nights. But 8 nights, he would be sleeping somewhere else. So she doesn't know how many. She didn't say that the Prophet told her that. That's what she witnessed and that's what she narrated. So either she narrating it, most of the Prophet was, according to what she knows. Otherwise, we have some ahadith shows you that Aisha woke up in the middle of the night looking for the Prophet and she couldn't find him. Then she stretched her hand and she find him making sujood and praying. So she was not even aware that he was praying. She didn't know how many rak'ah he did. So for her to say that is only limited to 11 or 13, that's according to what she think is the most of the Prophet ﷺ prayer is. And also when she said 11 and 13, radiallahu anha, actually, the whole entire narration, she never was asked about how many prayers he offered. Actually, she was asked, radiallahu anha, how his prayer looked like. So she said, it was so beautiful, it was so long, it was so focused, and it wasn't more than 11 or 13. And in other words, she's trying to tell them that prayers is not about how many, but it's about how you offer it, about not the quantity, but the quality of the prayer. That's why I do believe that it is no harm to pray more than that. No doubt, the closest to the sunnah, the closest to the common practice of Rasulullah ﷺ is 11 or 13. There's no doubt about that, but it's permissible to do. Question. Did the Prophet ﷺ ever reported that he prayed 21? The answer is no. Did the Prophet ﷺ ever report that he prayed 21 rak'ah? The answer is no. طيب, is it bid'ah to pray 21? No, it is okay. Because the Sahaba did that, radiallahu anhum, that. They did it. And it was approved by them. And it is famous that Umar, radiallahu anhu, later on the people prayed 21 rak'ah, even though some ulama said that this narration in particular about 21 rak'ah is weak. But it is very famous, and many other narrations support the concept that they prayed more than 13 and prayed more than 11. One of the evidence that we learned, one of the benefits from this hadith, that the person should always have the pure intention when he or she prays. So when you pray Taraweeh, always have the good intention, iman, and you do it with faith. واحتساب and seeking that reward. Also, this shows you that Ramadan is a blessed month and Allah multiplied the reward. That's why There is a special reward for praying in the night of Ramadan versus night outside Ramadan, which is what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned here. Next.
عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل العشر أي العشر الأخيرة من رمضان شد مئزره وأحيا ليله وأيقظ أهله متفق عليه. Narrated Aisha رضي الله عنها, when the last 10 days of Ramadan began, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم used to tighten his waist belt, i.e. occupy himself with the worship of Allah, stay awake all night, and awaken his family for the night prayers, agreed upon.
Yeah, I'm going to be using this one. So, this one is fine?
Yeah, that one's fine. The reason why you get echo is because this mic picks up, and that mic has a lot of gain. So it might be better. That's the only mic with echo.
Okay. So this hadith Aisha radiallahu anha is very famous, that the Prophet ﷺ, when basically the ten, she means the last 10 days of Ramadan, entered, the Prophet ﷺ, what he will do, preoccupied himself with the worship of Allah, exhausted himself with the worship of Allah, stayed awake at night, and awakened his family ﷺ. So she said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخلت العشر, when the last 10 nights of Ramadan entered, he will do the following. When the last 10 nights of Ramadan entered, it is the night of the 21st. So the last 10 nights of Ramadan, it's the night of the 21st. In Islam, or in the Arabic culture, and Islamically that's how it works, the night starts before the day. So, for example, today is the night of Sunday. After Maghrib, be the night of Sunday. Okay? So the night starts before the day. So tonight is the night of the 23rd, which is one of the nights that Anas and some of the companions to consider it Laylatul Qadr, the 23rd. Anyway, so the night of the 21st is the first night in the last nights of Ramadan. Why? Because if Ramadan became 30 days, it will be 10 nights. But if Ramadan, if we start in the night of the 20th, and Ramadan is 30 days, we will have 11 nights. So that's why al-ulama rahimahullah said, because we don't count the night of Eid also. It will be 9 nights. Because the night of Eid is not included, We don't consider the night of Eid. So if we start in the night of the 20th, you will have 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Then you have the 30. It will be basically 11 nights. It's not going to happen. So that's why we start from the 21st. We used to shadda mi'zara. What that means, shadda mi'zara, he tied his garment. As Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah and Jam' min al-Salaf qalu, it means he will avoid his family. He will not have intercourse with his family. Also, it could mean jadda wa ijtahad. It's a metaphor, which it means he tied his clothes on. It means he's ready to work. And he's working hard. قَوْمٌ إِذَا حَارَبُوا شَدُّوا مَآزِرَهُمْ دُونَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ بَاتَتْ بِأَطْحَارِ. They're so busy, so dedicated to the job that they have at hand, and they forget about their family. So it's a metaphor that known in Arabic language to refer to that. It means that the Prophet in these 10 days, he will exhaust himself. He will do way more than the regular day nights. Also, it could mean, shadda mi'zara, it means that avoided his wife, as Sufyan al-Thawri said. It also could indicate that the Prophet make i'tikaf. That's why he doesn't approach his wife. He doesn't intimate with his wife, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَأَحْيَى لَيْلَهُ. And he awake, and I don't know why they translated it this way. What did he translate it there?
Stay awake all night.
Ahya layla, it's a metaphor. It means he brought life to his night. Why? Because at night, usually what people do? Sleep, and sleep is a form of death. So it's the opposite of death, which is hayah, life. So you're awake. And you make something alive when it's really doing something valuable. That's why if you see someone wasting his life, you see this is not alive, that's right, because it's waste. Somebody is a loser doing drugs and doing bad things. He said, you're wasting your life. That's not alive. That's right. But something of value, because this is alive. So he will make this night worth by filling this night with prayers and dhikr and dua. So that's a two type of life, that he's not sleep, but he also occupied this night with something beneficial. Unfortunately, there is people in Ramadan, they alive during the night of Ramadan. They are awake, but they're wasting their time watching TVs, watching movies, you know, wasting their night doing something which is maybe they will go do argila, you know, and shisha, and smoke, and waste their time and stuff like that, backbiting and do things which is not beneficial. So these people, sleeping is much better for them than staying at night doing these kind of things. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يحيي إحياء معنويا وحسيا. They make the night alive literally by being awake and also spiritually by occupying this time with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith shows the value of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, that they are the best of the nights of Ramadan. And also shows you that it is sunnah to make i'tikaf, kind of indication, because he said can avoid his wife because he's in his i'tikaf. Also, he used to wake up his family, and this is another learning thing we learned from the hadith. It is sunnah to encourage your family to do more extra deeds. Please, if you didn't do yet, go. Even if your family are good people, even if they pray, even if they care for salah, reach out to them, send them a message, text message them, send them an email, you know, record a video message to them and send it to them. Tell them, hey, I love you, how are you doing? You know, this last 10 days, you know. For example, I know one of the brother here, his daughter in another state. I know one brother here, his son in another state, you know. Reach out to them and tell them, hey, I wish you inshallah, I hope you're doing good in Ramadan. Hey, Habibi, don't miss the opportunity to do this and that. Just let them hear that. That's the least you can do. كان النبي يقول يوقظ صويحبات الحجر. He used to wake up his family and his wife, and he goes to Fatima, wake her up to pray in the night. And Ali ibn Abi Talib. Reach out to your kids. Reach out to your family. Even if you know they do good, encourage them. Thank them. Inspire them to do more. And this is from the Hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Also, he used to do the last 10 nights because he was looking for Laylat al-Qadr, which is something we'll talk about, inshallah, later. Go ahead, next.
وعنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يعتكف العشر الأواخر من رمضان حتى توفاه الله عز وجل ثم اعتكف أزواجه من بعده متفق عليه. Narrated Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to engage in i'tikaf, seclusion in the masjid for worship, during the last 10 days of Ramadan till Allah the Great and Glorious took his soul. Then his wives engaged in i'tikaf after him, i.e. after his death. Muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon.
So this hadith Aisha radiallahu anha shows that the Prophet sallallahu used to make i'tikaf, and that's part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And Imam Zuhri said, Ajibt, I'm surprised how the Prophet ﷺ never missed in his life to make i'tikaf, and the Muslims these days don't care about making i'tikaf. Al-i'tikaf comes from the word akafa, which it means tulul mukth, when you dedicate yourself for a long time on one subject or one thing. You isolate yourself, you only focus on one thing, and you dedicate a good amount of time for that. That's why it came the Quran when Musa alayhi salam, in the story of Musa alayhi salam, فَأَتَوْ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ يَعْكِفُونَ عَلَىٰ أَصْنَامٍ لَهُمْ. When the children of Israel when Musa passed by worshiper of idols, and these were isolate themselves in the desert or somewhere away from the cities, focusing on the worship of the these idols. And Ibrahim told his people, "Ma hadhihi al-asnam allati antum laha akifun." What these idols that you focus and you dedicate your life to worship them? So, al-akf, it means dedicated for something. Wal-hadiya ma'kufan ay yablugha mahilla. The sheep that you buy for Hajj, ma'kuf, يعني you dedicated it for that purpose. You don't use this sheep for any other purpose. Okay? So it means you dedicate yourself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. Why the masjid? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. When you make an itikaf in the masjid. وَهَذَا, and this is an issue that make the majority of the fuqaha, rahimahumullah, apart from the Hanafis. Because the Hanafi says, Al-i'tikaf can be done by the woman, only woman, in her home. Wherever she has a place of prayer at home, she go to that place of prayer and she make i'tikaf there. So let's say this corner in her house, or this closet, or this bedroom, or this living, whatever place where she pray always, this is her masjid, she go stay there and don't leave it. Treat it like a masjid. But that's not very strong opinion because, wallahu a'lam, because al-i'tikaf must be done in a masjid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. While you're making i'tikaf in the masjid. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made i'tikaf in the masjid. And is the masjid is where the i'tikaf is. وَطَهِّرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. Purify my house, the house of Allah, which is Mecca, for those who want to make i'tikaf. So that's why i'tikaf must be done in the masjid. And from this verse, you see that Ibrahim welcomed the people who are making i'tikaf. So that means i'tikaf was known during Ibrahim time and Ismail time. So it's a practice that the nations before Islam aware of, and they used to practice it. There is many ahadith shows that the sunnah to make i'tikaf in the last 10 days of Ramadan. As Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make i'tikaf in these last 10 days, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa'atakafa azwajuhu min ba'di. His family, or his wife, made i'tikaf after him. That opinion that i'tikaf can be done any place also is somebody said that, but it is not correct. It has to be. Also, this hadith shows us that al-i'tikaf is sunnah. It's highly recommended as a sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ did, his wife did, and it's approved by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu for the woman to do it. Al-ajib anna al-imam Malik rahimahullah, he was not in the same opinion of the majority of the fuqaha. Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, he didn't recommend i'tikaf. كان الإمام مالك يقول هذا شديد على الناس. الاعتكاف, as Imam Malik feels that this is only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he think that this is not something that the people should do because it's very hard. It is something difficult. He said it's very hard for people to do. It's very hard for him to imagine someone doing i'tikaf. That's why he didn't recommend. But that's not correct. The later Malikis and the Fuqaha al-Islam and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ much stronger and clearer than the opinion of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala in regard to this. Some said women should not make i'tikaf. And that's not true. Women can make i'tikaf in the masjid. And the hadith is very clear that the woman, the Prophet's wife, did i'tikaf after him. It means they continued. They used to do it in his time, lifetime, and they continue doing it after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Al-ulama rahimahullah said, some ulama said i'tikaf only for old women, not young women. Is there proof for that? No, they thought, oh, it's not safe. But Aisha, she was 18 years old when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam died, and she was making itikaf. Hafsa, she was in her 20s, and she making itikaf. So it's not true that young woman cannot make itikaf. But if a woman make itikaf, she need a permission from her husband, because she cannot fast without his permission. So the same thing, itikaf cannot be done without his permission. Because if she make itikaf, he cannot approach her. In the same time, the place must be safe and accommodating for her. That's the only condition that I think very valuable. Once in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he made itikaf, Aisha said, can I do it with you? He said, yes. So she put a tent in the back of the masjid. Khiba, or like a tent. Then Hafsa said, can you ask him? I want to do it too. So he said, okay. She did. Then Umm Salama, mashallah, she doesn't need Aisha to intercede for her. She came and she put her own tent. So the masjid was filled. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam broke his tent and he left. And he told his wife to do that. He said, أَرَدْتُنَّ الْخَيْرِ You want goodness. That's right. Yeah. But you made it difficult for people in the masjid because you occupied the place. It became inconvenient for people. So they broke it, but the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made up that year the i'tikaf in Shawwal, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this shows you that this i'tikaf is sunnah. Also, al-Ahnaf, some Hanafi scholars have very interesting opinion. قالوا أن الاعتكاف فرض كفاية. Some of the Ahnaf said that al-i'tikaf fard kifayah. Must one at least in the neighborhood make i'tikaf. Otherwise, the whole entire Muslim in the neighborhood are sinning. So, yani, jazakallah khair, Jamal, jazakallah khair, Sulaiman, for taking that off our shoulder, and Sheikh Tariq too. So, but this is not correct. Al-i'tikaf is only sunnah, and it is not wajib. طيب, how long al-i'tikaf to be? The sunnah is to be 10 days and 10 nights. But can it be less than that? Yes. Some of the fuqaha al-Shafi'iyya said, kannawi, qal walaw lahza, even if it is a few minutes. But that doesn't go along with really the meaning of the word i'tikaf, tul al-mukth, focusing and dedication. What's 5 minutes called i'tikaf? It doesn't fit يعني, the meaning of the word i'tikaf. But some said, like Abu Hanifa said, a whole night and a day, yani 24 hours. Some said a whole day, some said a whole night. And there is other opinion I saw for some of the ulama, or the mashayikh said, interesting. They said, any time that you spend between two salah, you can have the intention of i'tikaf. Why? Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said about انتظار الصلاة إلى الصلاة قال فذلك الرباط ذلك الرباط ذلك الرباط. الرباط has the same meaning of i'tikaf, which is dedications and focusing and spending a quiet time on something. So he said, since the Prophet referred to ribat, so that means in between the two salah, you can make i'tikaf. And that's a very interesting opinion. What I believe is that any good amount of time where you feel isolated. So for me, it's a whole day or a whole night or half a day, something in that range, which is you feel you really get isolated from the world and focusing on something, only one thing, which is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is تجرد القلب من شواغل الدنيا, to free your heart from thinking about the dunya. That's why in al-i'tikaf, you cannot be busy with worldly matters. You focus only on your ibadah. This hadith also shows that i'tikaf should be done in the masjid. That's why Nabi Sallam did it in the masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shows you that i'tikaf is good or available or permissible for men and women. And you can do it the last 10 nights of Ramadan. This is the sunnah. And you can do other than the 10 nights of Ramadan as well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next.
وعنها رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يعتكف صلى الفجر ثم دخل معتكفه متفق عليه. Narrated Aisha رضي الله عنها, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intended i'tikaf, he prayed the Fajr prayer and then entered his place of seclusion agreed upon.
طيب, the i'tikaf meant for seeking Laylatul Qadr. Okay? So in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if he starts his i'tikaf after Fajr, that means he missed the first night, which is the night of the 21st. That's right? According to Aisha, he started the i'tikaf after Fajr. So that means he missed the first night, which is the night of the 21st. It means he entered Fajr of the 21st. That means he missed that night. That's why the majority of the fuqaha said, if you want to make i'tikaf, you start after Maghrib prayer, which is the night of the 21st. The night, remember what I said, the night in Islam comes before the day. So tonight is the night of Sunday. So that means the 21st, the night of the 21st is basically, in our modern day's words, the 20th late in the night. So that's the night of the 21st. So that means in Nabi, if you want to make i'tikaf, Jumhur al-Fuqaha, the majority, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi, and Nirish ibn Ahmad said that you start in the night of the 21st at Maghrib. But what this hadith Aisha can be understood? How can we understand Aisha's statement? Aisha radiallahu anha, she meant, al-Fuqaha said, she meant by saying he entered his mu'takaf, his i'tikaf, after Fajr. It means the place where he sleeps. So in the masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he designated for himself khiba. It's like a small tent or a place to have privacy. Okay? So he entered that place after Fajr. But before that, the whole night, he was in the masjid, praying and reading and leading and praying and reading Quran and making dhikr and making dua and basically engaging in the worship. When the time of him to go to sleep and to rest, it was after Fajr, when he went to that place, his mu'takaf, his basically specific area for him to sleep in, he entered that after Fajr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, al-Nabi started the i'tikaf at the night after Maghrib. So that's how they understood this narration from Aisha radiallahu anha wa arda. But again, one narration from Imam Ahmad and Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd al-Awza'i and Ishaq ibn Rawi said, no, the sunnah to start after Fajr, according to Aisha radiallahu anha wa arda. And I do believe the majority's opinion is correct in understanding this hadith, that it is that should be start from the night at Maghrib. But again, you can do it less than 10 days. But if you want to do the sunnah for the 10 days, it should start after Salat al-Maghrib. Also, this shows you that you can designate areas for the people of i'tikaf. It's like us designated these two rooms for people who are making i'tikaf. If they want to i'tikaf, you want to sleep, you can go in there and sleep and have your time. Yes, next.
وعنها قالت إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليدخل علي رأسه وهو في المسجد فأرجله وكان لا يدخل البيت إلا لحاجة إذا كان معتكفا متفق عليه واللفظ للبخاري. Narrated Aisha رضي الله عنها, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم would put his head in my room while he was in the mosque and I would then comb it. And he would never enter his house except for a need if he was in i'tikaf. Agreed upon, the wording is of al-Bukhari.
Next one too.
وعنها قالت السنة على المعتكف ألا يعود مريضا ولا يشهد جنازة ولا يمس امرأة ولا يباشرها ولا يخرج لحاجة إلا لما لا بد له منه ولا اعتكاف إلا بصوم ولا اعتكاف إلا في مسجد جامع رواه أبو داود ولا بأس برجاله إلا أن الراجح وقف آخره. Narrated Aisha radiallahu anha, the sunnah for the one who is observing i'tikaf is not to visit a sick person, nor attend a funeral, nor touch or fondle a woman, his wife, nor go out of any need except for that which is an absolute necessity. There is no i'tikaf without fasting, and no i'tikaf except in a congregational mosque. Abu Dawood reported it, and its narrators are acceptable, except that the strongest opinion is that the end of it is mawquf, saying of a companion. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس على المعتكف صيام إلا أن يجعله على نفسه رواه الدارقطني والحاكم والراجح وقفه أيضا. Narrated Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, fasting is not incumbent on one engaged in i'tikaf unless he imposed it on himself. Reported by Ad-Darqutni and Al-Hakim, the strongest opinion is that it is also mawquf, saying of a companion.
These are the three hadith that will end the talk about al-i'tikaf. The first one, hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, and al-Bukhari Muslim, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will put his head inside the house, like from يُدْخِلُ رَأْسَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, put his head in my room when he was in the mosque. So let's say there is, the Prophet's house didn't have a door for Aisha radiallahu anha. Maybe have a curtain, okay, just to basically to give privacy. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would put his head from that opening to inside her house, and she will be inside the house. Then she will comb his hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fix his hair. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hair is long. So she will be fixing his hair, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And usually when you say yurajjil, yani braid the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hair, she use materials like gel on the hair to calm it down and to make it shiny and looks nice and clean. So, and he will not enter the house to do that because calming the hair is not a necessity. But he still want to look good, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he's making i'tikaf. And that's an interesting point, that when you make i'tikaf, you don't need to look dirty, you don't need to smell bad, you don't need to, you still can look nice and, you know, clean and calm and like a proper, you know. Sometimes people think that, you know, being any messy or not necessarily in the best form when the dressing and looking, that means you are very righteous. That's not true. You still can be doing the righteous thing and the good thing, and you look nice, you look neat, you smell good, you have your hair fixed in a proper way. Mashallah, I always love the way you put your hair. By the way, you know, it's just very, never saw his hair messy. Never, mashallah. So people like, this is very nice. It's something to take, to learn from this hadith. So he would do that, radiallahu, she will do this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will not leave the house unless there is absolute necessities, and that's not necessities. كَانَ لَا يَخْرُجُ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا لِحَاجَةِ الْإِنسَانِ. Necessities, because, you know, in the old days, you need to go to the bathroom. There is no bathroom. So he will leave the masjid to relieve himself outside the masjid, outside the whole entire city, actually. He will go out to do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why al-ulama said, if you go out, for example,
what's the, where's the air coming from?
No, actually, the AC, mashallah, here is very strong. This one. Yeah, that's good. So Aisha radiallahu anha said he will not leave unless of necessities. So that's why ulama said, if you go out for business, let's say you go to your stores, your business, your work, you invalidate your siyam, your i'tikaf, okay? But if it is necessities, you go to doctor. Yesterday, Jamal asked me, can I go get my medicine and come back? Yes. But what about eating and drinking? Some fuqaha said, for eating and drinking, if someone can bring you the food, you should not leave. But a lot of them said, no, you are allowed to go to eat and come back. Because even if somebody bring you the food, it's still maybe not convenient. Maybe you don't want to eat in front of people. Maybe you don't feel, you don't want to make the place mess. So the ulama said that will be permissible to eat and to come back immediately. Okay? But I believe in sitting like us here in the masjid, and you have, alhamdulillah, good food and area for eating and provide meal, there is no point from going to the house. Unless you have a specific food allergic, for example, to certain food. Definitely, if you're allergic to spicy food, you're not going to be able to eat here. So you need to go home to eat and come back immediately without being engaged in other activity. Or to go take a shower and come back. That will be, if you feel like that is something you need, there is nothing wrong with that. So if there is need for you to go, yes, it is allowed to go. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left for need, not for necessities. Fi hadith, Safiya radiallahu anha, when she came to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when she finished talking to him, قال فكان النبي معتكف, and he was making i'tikaf, and he talked to me, he socialized with me. It was late in the night. قال I came to visit him, فأزوره فحدثته ثم قمت لأنقلب فقام معي ليقلبني. He came with me to take me back to my house. By the way, ليقلبني, to take me back. Some narrators narrate the hadith ليقبلني. They read the hadith and they just messed the writing. Instead, يقلبني, they said it يقبلني. يقبلني, it means to kiss me. He walked with me to the house so he can kiss me. But that's not true. That's the wrong narrate. That's a wrong reading for the hadith. That's absolutely a mistake. It is ليقلبني. And, you know, that's not necessities, but it's need to make her feel safe. So العلماء رحمه الله said, يعني, there is no necessity to go eat. No necessity for Jamal to go get the medicine yesterday. He could have asked someone else to go get it. But it's a need for him. So we allowed it, and it's short and come back. Okay? Also, it shows that it's allowed for the person who's making i'tikaf to fix his hair, to clean his clothes, to dress nice, and to smell good. Also, it is from this hadith, there is another narration that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told her, ناوليني الخمرة من المسجد. He gave me that garment. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I have hayd. I have my period. He said, yes, but your period is not in your hand. This hadith, some said that the Prophet asked her to go inside the masjid to pick that garment. And from this, some ulama said it's allowed for a woman during period to enter the masjid. And some said, no, min al masjid, yani the Prophet was inside the masjid and the garment was inside the house. They understood it in the other way. But there is another narration from Umm Salama explicit that she went inside the masjid while she had her period. Or one of the Prophet's wives. Also, that touching woman will not break your wudu. Because in Nabi Sallam, she was fixing his hair and he was in i'tikaf and he never reported that he went and he made wudu after that. Some ulama also said that shows you that woman's hand is not awra to show. Can anybody tell me how they get that from the hadith? كيف استنبطوا أن يد المرأة ليس عورة? They said from this hadith. Because she's inside the masjid and she's stretching her hand out, fixing his hair with her hand. So that's showing to the public. So they said, some said that this hadith shows that. The second narration that it was mentioned here is the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha that she said from the sunnah. Anytime they say from the sunnah, it means something they heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anytime a companion said from the sunnah, it means something he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this hadith, we cannot say that the Prophet said that. Why? Because Aisha didn't say that. This narration, they claim that Aisha said, actually, she didn't say that. This whole statement that you heard, ليس على المعتكف أن يعود مريضا, cannot visit the sick, cannot witness janazah, cannot touch a woman, you're intimate with a woman, cannot leave for an illness. This whole statement, the whole thing, is the statement of Imam al-Zuhri, rahimahullah. ليس من قول عائشة. Actually, the narration to Aisha is wrong. It is the statement of Zuhri, and it would add to Aisha radiallahu anha wrongly. إِنَّمَا حُكِيَتْ عَنْ عَائِشَ بِالْغَلَطِ وَإِلَّا هُوَ مِنْ كَلَامِ الْإِمَامِ الزُّهْرِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. That's what Imam Ad-Darqutni mentioned, and also Imam Al-Bayhaqi, Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr. That's why Al-Bukhari or Muslim never reported this narration this way. They never mentioned it as a narration of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha. And also it become in other narration without the word min as-sunnah, from the sunnah. So they said just the mu'takif should not do this, this and that. طيب. Here, Az-Zuhri rahimahullah said that you should not go visit a sick person. You should not witness janazah. And the fuqaha debated over this. Some fuqaha said it's allowed for the mu'takif to go out to do something, good deeds. But it seems to me, wallahu alam, that's correct. You should not go out. Because al-i'tikaf, it means you stay in one place. So you stay in the masjid. And you should not intimate with a woman, understood. And also, la yamas could means la yubashiruha, should not intimate by having intercourse that invalidate the i'tikaf, or anything similar to it, like kissing and touching and things of that. Even al-ulama rahimahumullah said, if the person did that and happened to have janaba because of this, that will invalidate his i'tikaf, even if he didn't have an intercourse. Also, the next one, he said in the end, وَلَا اَعْتِكَافَ إِلَّا بِصَوْمٍ. And the next hadith, there is i'tikaf must be done while you are fasting. This is an opinion, okay, among some of the fuqaha, rahimahumullah ta'ala. They said that a sawm is a condition for fasting. But what it seems to me that this is not a very strong opinion at all to me, because the majority of the fuqaha said that fasting is not a condition for i'tikaf, and that's the Shafi'iyya, the Hanabila, the some of the Malikis, Ibn Hazm, Ash-Shawkani, such as that. And earlier on, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz al-Hasan al-Basri, long list of ulama al-Sahaba and al-Tabi'een said fasting is not a condition. What's the proof? The proof that Umar radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, I made a nadhr to make i'tikaf in Masjid al-Haram before Islam. Should I fulfill my nadhr, my promise? He said, Awfi bi nadhrik, yes. And he didn't tell him fast. And that was not in Ramadan. Okay, so if fasting is a must, he should have told him, make sure that you fast as well. Also, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made up the days that he missed in i'tikaf. You remember the 10 days that the Prophet canceled his i'tikaf? He made it up in the first 10 days of Shawwal. And among the first days of Shawwal, Eid. And that's not fasting day. Never reported that the Prophet fasted during Shawwal. Also, al-i'tikaf is in the night and in the daytime. In the night, we're not fasting. So to say that fasting is a condition, it's really not a very strong argument, especially if we allowed fasting in the i'tikaf in the night only, and maybe the daytime, you're not making i'tikaf. Some ulama like Zuhri said, Zuhri's statement, no i'tikaf except fasting, unless you made this as a condition, a nadhr, and you want to fulfill your nadhr. And wallahu a'lam, there is no any proof to say that. Even the hadith Ibn Abbas that we heard, that laysa ala al-mu'takif siyam illa yaj'alu ala nafsihi, that you have no siyam upon you if you make i'tikaf unless you make another, even this hadith will come to know that it is weak. Also, that he said an no i'tikaf except in a masjid when there is congregation or jumu'ah. Yes, if you're going to make i'tikaf, and that will include Friday, you should make i'tikaf in a masjid where they pray Friday. طيب. Some ulama said that i'tikaf must be done in Mecca, Medina, Jerusalem. And I said this in Khutbat al-Jumu'ah, and I said that's based on Hadith Hudhayfa, and it is not correct, and it is weak narration. And as al-Hafidh al-Ala'i rahimullah a'alla hadha al-hadith, and others said it's not authentic. And even if we say Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, that was his opinion, is not something that he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was his opinion. And that's why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud opposed him. And he said, لَعَلَّكَ أَخْطَأْتُ وَأَصَابُوا وَنَسِيتُ وَذَكَرُوا You're wrong and other is correct. You forget and other remember. The Prophet said, he didn't say, don't make i'tikaf except in Mecca and Medina and Jerusalem. The Prophet said, you should not travel for any masjid except for Mecca and Medina and Jerusalem. You messed it up. And he corrected Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And even if we say this is hadith authentic, no i'tikaf except in Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem, we can easily say no perfect i'tikaf. Yani the most rewarding i'tikaf is the one done on these three masajid. But you didn't need to say it is invalid to make i'tikaf in other than these three masajid. So we talked about making i'tikaf while you're having a fast is not a condition. And if you made nadr, you just fulfill the nadr. And that will conclude all the hadith that talk about i'tikaf. And inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we will finish our, we only have 5 ahadith left, okay? And these 5 ahadith are related to Laylatul Qadr. And this is something we do for the i'tikaf. We will cover it tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, infa'ana wa iyyakum bima sami'na. صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد